Our Place, episode 549.
Our Place, where anything can happen and probably will.
Hi everyone and welcome to Our Place with me, Steve.
And me, Angie.
How are you all doing? We're doing all right, I think, aren't we?
Yeah.
On a bit of a high this week, I think, aren't we, really? Had a really good week. Mm. But we'll come to that because we haven't done a podcast for a couple of weeks. So we'll come to that as and when we get to it. So what we've been up to, Ange, the following week, the only thing I can really remember
that
was
different,
the previous week, sorry, yeah. The only thing I can really remember clearly, well, not clearly, because, you know, most of it's normal stuff, is Friday the 22nd of March, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we all went out for a family's, well, we went to my dad's and my niece's house now, and we went to have a curry night, which is a bit unusual for us because Dad don't like curry, does he?
No, but
so he had his fish and chips, didn't he?
Fish and chips.
Yeah, and we had curry, and I had a fowl, which is really hot.
I had a tikka bona, chicken tikka bona.
And it was really nice, and
we had little things like, oh, beautiful barges. Them barges was to die for, weren't they?
In barges, yeah, we had those.
Naan, of course, poppadom.
Yeah, yeah. We had keema naan, didn't we?
That's it.
Yeah. And really nice. Charlotte bought all little bits and bobs and stuff. Yeah. So then we had the dinner, and I had the yogurt on the curry, which sort of counteracts its the hotness,
yeah,
and it was
nice,
really
minty
nice.
Thing, isn't it?
Really nice, yeah. Sort of mint yogurt thing, and it was really nice. And we've got a WhatsApp group set up now, haven't we, Angie? Called Curry Night. private one.
I think it'd be better to put family stuff, actually, because she has asked other questions on it about, did we want to go at the cinema?
So yeah.
Curry Night's a good name, though. I do like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, so.
Used to be the Christmas group, didn't it?
Yeah.
Unless she set up a different group.
She set up a different one, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be, yeah.
But anyway, so that's all good.
Yes, and geez, I like how you do these groups.
We had a good evening.
We did, and then we went after the curry, we went to a pub, didn't we?
We went to the Pig and Whistle, yeah, that my dad's local pub, and had a few bevvies.
Well, I drank two rather big glasses of Pinot Grigio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But had very little effect from it because I've eaten all the dinner. It was a lovely dinner, so I didn't, you know.
I drank, what did I drink? That
You had some. I can't remember what you had, some beer, but I can't remember what it was. Nothing remarkable, was it?
Nothing remarkable, no. It was.
I can't remember what it was. Something you've had before, I think.
No, was it? It weren't Young's, was it?
Yes.
Was it
two
Young's?
Yeah. I know your dad saying
two Young's. Yeah, it was Young's. That's right.
But then you went on to a Whiskey and Orange.
Whiskey and Orange, yeah. Not mad on the Young's, so. Yep. So we had a good evening there.
Your dad had a third, didn't he? Well, the rest of us didn't want any more.
Yep. And yeah, and so that was that week.
Really.
That week, we had a regular normal weekend, just Angie and I.
Yeah. As we said, the week coming up to it, I think was quite normal, really.
Yeah, it was. And then on the Monday, we went to Nadex, Birmingham, didn't we, Angie?
You did. You and Emma and Debbie.
Me, Emma and Debbie.
And Sean,
I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But Emma, Debbie and I went up to Birmingham. And Sean was there when we got there. He checked in the morning. And they let him check in. And in the morning, we weren't supposed to check in till after 2, so that was cool. And when we got there, Sean was waiting for us and helped us haul in the exhibition stuff. So that was good. And all the way, Sean is the CEO of Cyber Times, that make the Cyber Eyes software for smart glasses. And so Sean came over to help me to show off Cyber Eyes. In fact, he did a lot of it himself. And very well he did too. I'm croaking, by the way, because I've been talking all the week, it seems, non-stop. And I'm still trying to get my non-croaky voice sorted out. But anyway, Sean was very helpful to me personally throughout the whole exhibition. And I'd like to thank Sean. He was showing me to and from the room, and because we shared a room, a twin room, and Emma and Debbie shared a room as well. And that was Emma's last exhibition with us. Emma's last day was yesterday, but we haven't got to that yet. So we had a really good exhibition. We got there on the Monday. Sean went out on the Monday night, but Debbie, Emma and I ate in the hotel. And then on Tuesday, we went to the resort, which is where Sean went on the Monday night. So we all went in an Uber, which Sean arranged. And we all had a meal in an Italian. And for the moment, I can't remember which Italian it was. It wasn't Ask, but I can't remember which one it was. But it was very nice. And I had calzone, which is like a pizza. And it was really nice.
I've had one of those.
You never had a calzone?
No,
yeah, it's a pizza affair, really. And it was really nice. And I must admit, I picked it up with my fingers in the end because it was easier.
Mm.
And so, yeah. And so we on the Tuesday night as well, before that, we went in to have the networking meeting and drink and whatever. And it was just a scrum. It was in Wetherspoons. And because the exhibition had set on free beer for everyone for an hour, it was just like people were lining up 15 pints and things like that, you know, and taking ages to be, you know, to get served. And we got a drink there, and Emma eventually got a drink there, only because Sean intervened. He went up there in the end. He said usually the American gift of the gab does it, and he did it.
Yeah. You have to be in situations like that, you have to be forward, don't you, I think?
Yes, yes. And Debbie and Emma did a fantastic job. And on the Tuesday morning, Sean and I had to go. Well, Sean had to go, but he let me come with him to do a 3-minute presentation for the Nadex 2019 Tech Innovation Award. And it was a 3-minute process for the three finalists. There were three of us. There was us. There was one called Power Chair, who'd built an indoor-outdoor wheelchair, electric wheelchair, that is, Power Chair. And the other one was something to do with training against incontinence or something like that. I guess all innovative, but we felt really that you know, Cyber Eyes ought to smash it, and fortunately we did. We won it. So Sean did the 3-minute presentation, which I didn't record, and then after that, at the end of the presentation, I just stood up. Well, I was actually there. We were sat on a stool, both of us, and I just stood up and said, "And by the way, the carpet is red." And I said, "And I've never seen before in my life, and I can't see at all." And we just got this big ripple of applause. It was really good, because obviously the glasses had done their work, hadn't they? You know, to prove to people that it actually worked. We were the only practical demo. In other words, the chair was there, but it didn't move, really.
No.
But the glasses, we were able to demonstrate them in real life and see how they can help blind people in real life. So just by that, me saying the carpet was red, and I think that took us a long way towards winning it. And then the judges asked us all questions. Sean, technical questions about it, and me, questions about how it's changed my life and things like that. And we told the judges a couple of our stories that we've told about Cyber Eyes, you know. And yeah, so we won it. And so now we have this lovely glass award that says Nadex 2019 Tech Innovation Award winner. So we are honoured to have that. That's really great. And it's here in our office. Sean's got pictures of it, and he put it up. If I can find a link to it, because I think I can find it on our Facebook page. It'll actually be on our homepage as well, on our website, because it posts everything from Facebook anyway, I believe. So, but I'll put a link to it on the show notes. And it was a great honour for Sean and I to get that. It was really cool. And so they don't put who you are on the award, because they don't know who's going to win from one year to the next.
Oh, that's right.
You do get to keep it, I believe. We weren't told we had to give it back, because it says 2019 on it. So they probably make a new one each year.
Yeah.
So it was really good. We got some good contacts at the exhibition. And at the end of this podcast, we will have a half-hour seminar that Sean did. I hope the recording's all right. I haven't really been able to listen to it all. I recorded it on my phone because my Olympus was out of battery, and I used the high-res audio recorder to do it. And so hope the recording's all right. So we'll have the presentation of Sean demonstrating CyberEyes, or talking about more CyberEyes, in the afternoon. He did it on the Tuesday and the Wednesday afternoon. And on the Wednesday afternoon, Debbie went with him to listen in, because the two ladies stayed back. Sean and I went on the Tuesday afternoon, and then Sean and Debbie went on the Wednesday afternoon. And so Emma and I stayed back. So it was a brilliant exhibition. I'd like to thank Debbie and Emma from the bottom of my heart. They were fantastic. Sean was great, very helpful to me, guiding me all around the place, saying stairs. that was our bit of fun, because Sean, every time we reached stairs, Sean was stairs. You know, so it was great fun. We all got along famously. We had a good laugh. We sat in the bar both nights. Debbie and Emma went up before Sean and I. Sean kept me up. But it was great.
You weren't late though, were you?
We weren't that late, no, not really late, no. And I seemed to sleep well both nights.
You certainly weren't late the second night, because you were talking to me just after 10.
That's right. And then after that, Sean and I playing music.
Yeah.
So yeah. While Sean was writing emails.
Ooh,
nice. So yeah, that was all good fun. We got back home Wednesday night, probably 7-ish, was it, Angie?
Yeah, it wasn't that late, was it? It was quite nice, wasn't it?
No.
You got home nice and early.
Yeah.
Because nobody wanted to stop on the way, so that made it quick, didn't it?
Yeah, and I was cream crackered, I tell you. I was really tired. But I was also really croaky, and I still haven't quite got over that one
yet.
No,
you clearly haven't.
No.
No.
Thursday was pretty normal. Emma and I worked Thursday to catch up. And then Friday, mostly me and Emma, but Debbie came in the morning, and Emma did final handover. So next Monday, it's me and Debbie, the Debster, isn't it, Angie?
Indeed.
Yeah. That was Emma's name, by the way. She called her the Debster. And Debbie laughed about
it. Oh, was Emma's name?
Yeah,
Emma. I thought it was your name.
No, it was Emma's. She said, "Where's the Debster?" At one point.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we had a lot of fun. It's been a great week all round, really. What about you, Ange? What did you get up to other than
quite normal.
Chatting to me?
Oh, what? Quite normal. The only difference was, I went out Tuesday night to the radio club. That was the only, unusual thing that I'd do in the evening, I suppose.
Yep. The other thing, while I remember, we met David and Ginny Weston at Nadex. They came to Nadex. They saw Braille Me, loved it, and ordered one. So thank you for that, David. That's really good. They hopefully will be in very soon now. They told me they were shipping them on Monday, so let's see what happens. So we got that, and it's all been a good week, and I've been a bit on cloud nine this week, and you know, really cool. So what else, Ange?
There's not a lot else, really, is there?
There's not a lot else, is there? So the podcast will be a bit longer today, because we'll have the presentation on there. And next week, I'm hoping, or next time we do the podcast anyway, I'm hoping to do a demo of the In Your Pocket device.
Yeah, we haven't got to that yet. There doesn't seem to be enough time.
We had a demo of In Your Pocket a long time ago, it's come a long way since then, hasn't it, Ange?
Seems to have, doesn't it? There's more on there.
Yeah. So yeah. we'll have a look at that on the podcast as well. So I think that's going to do it. What do you think, Ange?
Yeah, I think so.
So it only is left for me to say, if you want to write to us, it's ourplace@comproom.co.uk. You can go to www.ourplace-podcast.info, find out all about the episodes, how you can listen to them on the internet, and also on the telephone, thanks to Talking Newspaper Services. So, of course, write to me as well at the same email address, ourplace@comproom.co.uk, if you want to be added to our Dropbox, and we'll give you a folder so that you can put in your own stuff if you want to contribute to the podcast with your voice or whatever. So, without any more ado, I'm going to say cheerio.
Bye from me.
And we'll leave the last word to Sean of Cybertime.
Thank you so much for joining us. I am Sean Timmons, the CEO and co-founder of Cybertime, or you make cyber eyes. I'm here with our partner, Steve Nutt from Computer Room Services. He's here in the UK and represents all of our products here in the UK for us. There we go. That sounds good. Awesome. So, CyberEyes, what is it? CyberEyes is a smart glasses application built for people with no vision first and low vision second. So we started this project over 4 years ago. We started on Google Glass. Initially, we did Google Glass reading text in English. We did a field trial in Washington, D.C. that failed miserably. We broke four pairs of Google Glass in 4 weeks. Even Google couldn't figure out what we were doing with their glasses. So we went back, we tried again with five different pairs of smart glasses. The HoloLens, the Oculus Rift, the Epson Mavario smart glasses, Sony smart glasses that never made it to market. And the one that we ended up going with is a product by Vuzix, V-U-Z-I-X is the name of the company. And I think our Wi-Fi hotspot is walking away, so this could get interesting. Thank you, sir. Yeah, no worries, no worries. Yeah, so Vuzix came along, and we did some work with them and did a lot of field testing, and 100 out of 100 people in Washington, D.C. picked the Vuzix glasses. And that's what Steve has on over here. If you guys look to your right, Steve's in the front row. He's got the glasses around his neck there.
Yep.
The way that they work, the whole device weighs about somewhere around 4.5 ounces. And I apologize, I don't know the grams conversion on that for you guys. But it's about a quarter of a pound. And then they're wearable all day long. The battery that comes with them, there's a little battery on the side and a computer on the other side with a camera and a 3-button interface to control it. That battery gives you about an hour to an hour and a half. And the majority of our users use these little power banks from Walmart. It's a $30 power bank. With the power bank, you can run those glasses for over 12 hours nonstop. So what do they do? So we have OCR built in. Do we have any visually impaired folks in the room that use Seeing AI? You guys use Seeing AI from Microsoft? No? Oh my gosh, you guys need to download this app, okay? It's totally free, it's from Microsoft. It does all kinds of cool stuff from reading text and barcode scanning and all that kind of good stuff. We are the only company on planet Earth that Microsoft licensed Seeing AI to for smart glasses. So we have one of the best OCR engines on the planet running on the glasses, built for you by Microsoft. We also partner with Amazon. The headset is an Amazon Alexa on your head. So you have all your Alexa activities for reading Audible books or getting weather or calling an Uber, that sort of thing. We also have color identification for 1,600 unique colors. Anybody here know what color Arcadia is? People only know if they've heard my spiel, that's why I use that one. All right, cool. So what the glasses will say is this image is 42% Arcadia, color family brown. And where that made a real difference, why we built that, was a guy that he's down in Raleigh, North Carolina in the States. His job was to build stamps, address stamps, right? Name, address, telephone number, that sort of thing. And the issue was they had red, blue, and green different colors for their stamp bodies, and that was the only way to be able to know if he had the right stamp bodies or not. And so using CyberEyes, he uses the OCR to read his work order, he uses color identification to go get the right stamp body, and then he uses our barcode scanner to scan the barcode to make sure that he picked up the right products and rubber stamps and all that kind of stuff. So this guy started with us, he was low vision, and so he was doing okay and was plugging along doing his job. But in the time that we started working with their company, he went to no sight. And they'd started the process of shifting him out, and they were gonna put him on disability and unemployment and all that stuff. And we managed to save his job because of the color identification, the OCR, and the barcode scanning that's built in. So talking about barcode scanning, it's built for total blind first because of Tutol. So the way it works is you can actually take a can of soup or a bottle, spin it in front of the glasses. We've analyzed the video continuously. We find the barcode, cut it out, and submit it to Google Shopping. So right out of the box, we recognize 100 million barcodes around the world. If you can find it on Google, you can find it with CyberEyes. So that's something we're really proud of. So we partner with Microsoft, we partner with Google, we partner with Amazon. So we talked about it being an Alexa device on your head, reading text. The biggest thing is read my mail, right? That's the whole reason we built CyberEyes. That's the number one request is I want to read my own mail. So it absolutely does a good job with that. We also have the color identification. We have object recognition. There's an offline and online object recognition. So in offline mode, you can look at a dog and it'll tell you there's a table, there's a chair, there's a dog. If we take a picture of that dog, it'll tell us that's a golden retriever, that's a black lab. One of Steve's favorite stories to tell about object recognition was he was working with his sighted guide, Emma, and they came out of an exhibition where there was a big car show going on out front, and he wanted to know what this one car was, so he asked Emma to go find out. He used cyber eyes to take a picture of the car instead, and when she got back, he said, yeah, it's a black 1963 Mercedes-Benz. So the object recognition told him more than she could figure out. So the object recognition is really cool. The Alexa, a real use case that we see for folks is they use Alexa to call an Uber. When the Uber comes up, they use object recognition to take a picture of the car to make sure it's actually a blue Toyota Camry, right? So it's kind of a safety issue and that sort of thing. People really like that use case for it. Object recognition, color identification, reading text. Mood ring mode. Mood ring mode is one of our favorites. You can take a picture of a person and it will tell you if they're happy, sad, angry, or surprised. So we tell folks we are saving or destroying marriages around the planet. How you use it is up to you. So, but that one was actually built for a lawyer back in the States who is also total blind. So Trey knows that he gets the truth out of his witnesses when he gets them mad. So his goal is always to get the person on the witness stand angry. And so he uses mood ring mode in court every day to take pictures of witnesses and know when he's getting them angry or not to get the truth out of them. So we built mood ring mode for Trey. We built color identification for a kid named Jason up in Baltimore, Maryland. He was about to get fired from Walmart. He had failed to get a Walmart blue shirt for the third time in a row. So they wrote him up for the third time. They were getting ready to fire him. The Wilmer Eye Institute from Johns Hopkins called us and said, hey, can you help? So that's where color identification comes, was built for Jason to find Walmart blue shirts. But Jason, after he got the glasses, because not only could it recognize the colors, but also supported all of Walmart's barcodes, right? Because you can find anything from Walmart on Google, Jason got promoted. And instead of being a greeter, now he works in the stock room, he's working full time, gets a better hourly wage, that kind of stuff. So we're really proud of that story. All because of color identification, right? Simple, simple things. That's the one thing I really want to make sure you guys walk away with, if nothing else from this demo today. CyberEyes, everything that's built into CyberEyes has a name tied to it. Yes, our development team, we all have 30 and 40 years worth of development under our hats, but we don't design anything from the company and push it down everybody's throats. Everything that CyberEyes does is because somebody asked. Say, hey, I know it does this, that's really cool. Can you make it fill in the blank? And that's how CyberEyes works, even now. That is still how we develop CyberEyes. One of the things we're really proud of is we do free tech support for life, free training for life, and free software updates for life. So when we first started 4 years ago, all it did was read text in English poorly, and now we have the Seeing AI stuff. We read 160 different languages. We have Amazon Alexa. We have Skype. We have all these different features. Those have all been free updates for our users, always. Always free software updates. The other thing we're very proud of is our training team. We partner with the Veterans Administration in the United States. So when soldiers are visually impaired in their last 12 months of service, they're in what's called a warrior transition unit. Every time that happens, the Army calls us. And those visually impaired soldiers come to work for us on our help desk. They use the glasses to do their job, and they're the ones who are answering the questions all day, every day. We're really proud of that. We not only do we talk the talk about blind unemployment, but we walk it too. So our distribution center is one of the other examples of employment for us. We partner with the Industries for the Blind in Milwaukee. When somebody buys glasses from us, they're shipped to Milwaukee. Gina, who is low vision, and Selena, who is no vision, unbox the glasses, load all of our software up on it, test it, box it back up, and ship it back out to our customers. When people ask me why I do this, in the United States anyway, we know that we have a 72% unemployment rate in the blind community. I tell people all the time, if that was a racial class instead of a disability class, there would be riots in the streets, right? 72% unemployment is just wrong. And so that's our primary focus with CyberEyes is employment-related activities. We have a girl who's total blind, works in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that works as a receptionist all day. So she sorts all the mail, she routes all the phone calls, she even runs a copy machine using her CyberEyes glasses with no vision at all. That's something we're very proud of. We have a guy down in Largo, Florida, using our CyberEyes on the Samsung Gear VR, just passed the driver's license test. So they're giving him a provisional driver's license to drive a three-wheel trike because of these glasses. We also have a guy in Atlanta that he went to the Emory Eye Institute. He has no vision in his left eye. His right eye is at 20/300. And using the glasses magnification, he was able to test at 20/20. We took him from 20/300 to perfect vision with these glasses. It's amazing. It's just amazing what this technology can do. One of the things we like to talk about, this is commercial off-the-shelf hardware. This is a Samsung smartphone and a Samsung Gear VR headset. You can buy them from Amazon, anywhere you want. CyberEyes runs as an app on the phone. Right? So it's one of the big reasons for our pricing differences. If you look at some of our competitors out there, OrCam's got a booth here today. Go check them out. It's a great product. It's also $4,500. CyberEyes is $1,900. Significantly less because we use commercial off-the-shelf hardware. It's a big, big difference for us. The other thing that gives us, this hardware by Samsung, we are confident Samsung spent millions of dollars designing a headset that everybody would be willing to wear. I have no desire to compete with their millions of dollars of R&D work and we use their stuff instead, right? So you guys may have heard talk, you guys wanna see it do something? Wanna see it do stuff? Let's do stuff, all right, cool. So I'm gonna use the Samsung version. This is the version for our low vision crowd instead of our no vision crowd. This device gives you a 101 degree field of view and a 110 inch virtual movie screen right in front of your eyeballs. So for our low vision crowd, this has been a great solution. Yeah. Pop this guy on.
Is it just brightness?
There we go. Yeah, you guys can hear it. Cool. So it's very simple to use. There's a focus wheel here in the middle to adjust your focus. It's actually for the clinical folks in the room that's adjusting the interpupillary distance for that individual. Then there's a swipe pad here on the side. It's how we control the whole device. So if I swipe down.
Change to adjust white balance mode. Change to invert colors mode. Change to alter focus mode. Change to move display left or right mode. Change to move display up or down mode. Change to move display close or far. Change to read text mode using Google Offline.
There we go. So you just swipe up or down to change your different modes. And then forward.
Zooming in. Zooming in, zooming, zooming in. Maximum, maximum, maximum zoom.
There we go. Forward to zoom in. Zooming out, zooming and backwards zooming to zoom out. Zoom out. And yes to the lady in the back corner, I see the expression on your face, that's fantastic. So actually, usually what happens is people will tell me where I missed a spot shading when they zoom in on this thing. It's such a great zoom. So, but we are on Google Offline Text Reader, right? So no internet needed for this particular OCR engine. It's also Google, one of the reasons we use the Google engine is because of the security policies around it, right? Google promises not to save your data or sell it to anybody, which is key and critical for us as well. So let's, there we go, that's a good one. So we're gonna look at this particular page, snap a picture of it. Long tap on the side to take a picture of it. Let's do mood ring mode. Mood ring mode's always fun. So, barcode. Oh, let's do color assistant. This will be interesting with all the folks in the room.
Network is unavailable.
Oh, because of our Wi-Fi, we can't do the color assistant thing. Gosh darn it. All right, so some of the other things that are available in here is brightness control.
54, 58, 62, 66 brightness, 70 brightness, 650, 40, 41 brightness, 30, 33.
So I can control the brightness. Where this one's gotten cool is couples in bed at night watching TV, that the visually impaired person can use their glasses, increase the brightness to 100%, and it doesn't bother their wife next door at all. So that one's been really useful at home.
Adjust white balance
is something that's custom to CyberEyes. Nobody else exposes the white balance features of these cameras and phones. What this does is it adjusts the color hues of the screen. So a really good example is RP patients, retinitis pigmentosa. They have a real trouble trying to identify true colors. And it turns out there's a mode in here. Let's swipe to it.
Daylight, white balance, daylight, white balance. Warm fluorescent, white balance.
So you can hear all the different modes, right?
Daylight, white balance.
Daylight.
Cloudy daylight, white balance. Twilight, white balance. Shade, white balance. Off, white balance. Autumn, white balance. Incandescent, white balance. Fluorescent, white balance. Warm fluorescent, white balance. Daylight, white balance. Cloudy daylight, white balance. Twilight, white balance.
There we go. So twilight's the one I was looking for. Specifically for RP patients, we've had them put it on, put it in the twilight mode, and they're able to see eye color, right? The girl that we built CyberEyes for initially, Teresa, I put the Samsung version on her. She and I have known each other about 15 years. She looked at me and said, oh my God, you have blue eyes. I didn't know you had blue eyes. And it's all because of this white balance mode for her, right? That's one of the other things I'll point out about CyberEyes. Every feature, all of the settings are exposed to you. So you can change and control everything. White balance is one, so we've got cloudy daylight, 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 get back into off. Auto, there we go. So what we just...
Change to adjust white balance mode. Change to invert colors mode.
So invert colors is one in the low vision crowd that's used frequently. That negative is the most popular one.
Effect mode riddle. Effect mode nostalgia.
There we go, negative. So negative is kind of a reverse of, instead of black text on a white page, it reverses all of that. So everybody I'm looking at right now kind of looks like those old school negative photograph things, right? But so we have negative mode. So black and white is a mode that I'm in right now. You guys kind of all look like cartoon characters a little bit. But where black and white has been really useful is reading. So we've got one guy who's a teacher's assistant back in the UK. He teaches sixth graders, and his whole job was to be able to stand over their desk and read what they were writing as they were writing it. And this black and white mode enabled him to do that. He's also an RP patient. Emboss is really cool. So I'm looking at you guys through emboss mode right now, and I just see outlines of all the people. And for some people, they have a real trouble identifying contrast between objects. And so Emboss, Matthew, the guy who got the driver's license in Florida, he called me and told me he's been using Emboss mode to figure out where his daughter is on the couch. Because he always comes in the family room trying to find her, and he yells for her, and she won't say anything because she knows he can't see him. So now he uses Cyber Eyes, puts it in Emboss mode, and he knows exactly where she is. Grayscale is your typical black and white grayscale. We have a lot of folks that have issues with color working in warehouses and that sort of thing, trying to see exit signs and especially light up signs on manufacturing floors with the big conveyor belts that are moving along doing the manufacturing. Using grayscale mode, we're able to eliminate all the issues that happen with red LEDs. That's actually the biggest problem we have in manufacturing floors is red LED signs. And so using grayscale, we're able to get rid of all that and turn everything black instead of red.
Nostalgia is a good thing.
Okay, all right. So last but not least, the other things I want to talk about inside the Samsung device is, I wish we had a way to mirror it on the screen. Hopefully we'll figure that out eventually. But there's a big giant movie screen in front of my eyes, and one of the things we really liked about the M300 is the device rotates up and down, it slides back and forth, the camera rotates and folds, and there's just all these ways to adjust it to find your sweet spot is what we call that. So when we got the Samsung device, we realized, oh crap, we can't find anybody's sweet spot. The image is stuck right in the middle of the screen. So we started working with Samsung, and we actually identified a way to take the big virtual screen that's in front of me and shift it up, down, left, right, closer, or further away. So if I start swiping forward, it's actually shifting the whole screen over to the right. So the kid I told you about that we took from 2300 to 2020, because he has no vision in his left eye, he actually moves the entire screen over to the right side. And now so many things that he would never see in his left peripheral, now he's seeing them through this screen. Right, so moving display left and right. Move display up or down is another key one. We work with a lot of folks that have Stargardt's or macular degeneration, so their central vision tends to be occluded, but their peripheral is usually fairly clear. By moving the display up and down, we can get it into that peripheral vision where it's in their clear spot. And then the last but not least is move display closer far mode. Again, our user community is awesome. We built move display closer far actually for RP patients, and one in particular, Hai Cohen out in California, that he had 4 degrees of central vision left. That's all this guy has is 4 degrees of central vision. So we built the display actually to push it all the way out, right? If I start swiping forward, it pushes this display way off in the distance there. And with his 4 degrees, we try to get it to where they can see all 4 corners of the screen, or as much of it as you can. If you can see all 4, like Hai was able to, he went from 4 degrees of vision to 101 degrees. Right? That's what the camera in these glasses on this phone has, is a 101 degree field of view. And we thought that was awesome. He was really happy with it. And it turns out all of our users, let me reset. There you go. It turns out a bunch of our magnification users went the other way. And instead of pushing the screen forward, they started bringing the screen backwards towards their eyes. So what's happening at the moment is I can see our friend over here in the black and striped shirt with some awesome pants. I love those checkered pants. Those are awesome. So, but using this move display closer far, it doesn't change the zoom. right? When we're in some of those other modes, we zoom in, and by zooming in, you narrow the field of view. Well, by moving the display closer, now we get all the benefits of zoom without losing the field of view. So it's really, really a cool technology, and we didn't do it. Our users did it, right? We put the tech in there, and we're like, oh, cool, here, we can move it farther or closer to you, and suddenly all of our users started calling us and telling us that the move display close was way better than zoom for reading text and watching TV and that sort of stuff. Let's see. All right. So how much time we got? Oh, I'm actually a little over, but we started late. We can go over, right? All right. Any questions from the audience? Questions, comments, concerns? Yes, ma'am. Sure. So the music, all the same features and functions.
Yep.
It's the same app on both glasses. Yep. But that one, the smaller device, tends to work well for our total blind crowd. So I'm the CEO. When we look back at our lost leads, right? Why didn't we make this sale? 82% of the time on the Vuzix device, it was the screen was too small. We heard that over and over and over again. So that's why we went to the Samsung device. This is the biggest wearable screen on the market. You can't find a bigger VR screen. So that's why we went to Samsung. But all the same software. I imagine people with some eye that she might wear that. Right. We hear that frequently. Please, dear God, we really want a VR manufacturer to make something smaller and easier and better to wear. But because we're using commercial off-the-shelf hardware, there's a reason we use Samsung. Samsung is the only virtual reality headset that doesn't cover up your phone, right? So we still have the front-facing camera. That's why we're on Samsung. If I went with Daydream or Google Cardboard or any of those, they cover up the phone, and that makes it pretty much useless for us. So that's why it's on Samsung. Any other questions? So folks, we are in booth N3112. It is straight down this aisle, and on the right, we're in the last little cube of booths there. So N3112, please come by. We're happy to do demonstrations. That's why we're here. We can do demos with either headset for you and see what works best for you. And of course, get you all the contact information for Steve here in the UK. And last but not least, I want to thank Nadex. We won the Innovation Award this morning, so we're very excited about that. So thank you to Nadex. Thank you all so much for coming out. We appreciate your time.